Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Welcome, everybody. It is the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tagway, Along for the Ride podcast. We put the wraps on the NCAA season. The weird or wild west in the NBA, and should the Celtics be in first overall? But first, I have to tell you that we are brought to you by FanDuel. Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back, and there's no better place to get in on all the NBA action than FanDuel, folks. America's number one sportsbook and official partner of Major League Baseball. Okay, Jeff, we know you're exhausted. We know that you have not unpacked.
UConn.
And there you go. So your thoughts on the NCAA tournament and the final result?
I mean, you know, looking back on it, maybe we shouldn't have been so surprised because UConn was clearly the best team in the non-conference. I saw them back in Portland in November, and they were terrific. Then they went through a spell where they lost 6 of 8, and everybody kind of jumped off the wagon. But when you looked at them, other than a true point guard, they had everything you needed, right? They had a wing and Jordan Hawkins, who's a pro. He could be a lottery pick. They had two bigs that weren't plotting bigs. You know, the plotting big doesn't work right now in college basketball, especially in the NCAA tournament, but Adama Sanogo was a beast. And Donovan Klingon, as big as he is not plotting by any means. And then you just had good pieces. Like Dan Hurley did a great job at UConn and his staff of navigating the portal and saying, all right, with Andre Jackson, who might be the most important player, and I haven't even mentioned him yet, because he's an elite defender, energy, toughness, all of it, versatile. But they needed shooters around him. They brought in Tristan Newton from East Carolina, not a point guard, but had to play the point and did well. Joey Calcaterra from San Diego, who just made big shots. So it was a team that was put together well. And in a year in which there was no dominant team, UConn was the best team early and the best team when it mattered late.
Bob, first of all, Bob, why don't you explain your garb to everyone and tell us what you thought?
Well, I am saluting the NCAA Division III women champions, the undefeated Transylvania Pioneers, who played in a unique circumstance last Saturday. I would like to submit that never in the history of NCAA basketball or any other level, well, NCAA anyway, or hockey, has two undefeateds met for a championship. Now, we know what happened. This happened in football.
Right.
Well, they were undefeated against undefeated Christopher Newport. Wow. And capped a season, a two-year run in which they have lost one game, which was last year in the Sweet 16. I have a good friend who happens to be president of the school, Brian Lewis. This is my salute to the Pioneers. Now, as far as the NCAA Division I men's are concerned, if ever was the year where you were going to have some unpredictability, it was this year. This is as arguably the weirdest year in history, with multiple teams number one and run at the end of the season. It was just two Saturdays in a row where number one and two each lost. And of course, they were different ones and twos that had been the week before. and then this is telling, of your four number one seeds, the fewest losses was five. I doubt that that's ever happened. And so it's certainly not very often. Anyway, so we're got the, that we wound up with a Florida Atlantic and in particular, although they did win over 30 games, but still, they're an outlier supreme. I mean, let's face it, them getting there, if this is not a shock that it would happen this year. And San Diego State was quite worthy as well from Mountain West. All right, UConn, I can't amplify anything that...
you were there, Bob. You were at the Final Four. How many straight years is this for you now at the Final Four?
Well, straight, no. I have, it's over 32 or 33 on total.
Because people don't understand. I think people that watch you think you're strictly an NBA guy and you love and have followed and have covered college hoops forever.
My foundation sports growing up, you know, that made me into a sports fan and ultimately a sports writer were college basketball and Major League Baseball. And growing up in the 50s in Trenton, New Jersey, and my father having worked at Villanova when I was very small, I got introduced into college basketball and football. In a big way. And so, yes, I was a college person first. When I started covering the NBA in 1969, I needed a tutorial about NBA basketball and the nuances of it, the differences of it, the way the game is supposed to be played and how it is played, as opposed to college, which I've been indoctrinated with my whole life. Okay. I just want one more thing about UConn.
Yeah.
Is did any other team in NCAA basketball history ever bring a useful 7-2 off the bench?
I don't think so.
Now, the only I thought about this when I first said this. Oh, UCLA, Sven Nader, but he wasn't 7 foot; he was 6'11". So yeah. It's a technicality here. But seriously, what you said about Klingon is true. He's not a plotter. He's got quick feet. He's got good hands. He can play. He's a player. Yeah. And the fact that they could utilize these two guys in that Danny could get, you know, not exhaust Samago and change the pace and the nature of the game by bringing in Klingon. And Klingon didn't have to. He's only. I was amazed to find out, guys. As you think about him, he only played 13 minutes a game for the season, and yet there were 13 quite impactful minutes in many games, right, Jeff?
Yes. He averaged 12 in the tournament. 12 in the tournament, and here's what I'm going to tell you, Bob. You're not going to like this. You're not going to like this at all. But this is the way of the world when it comes to college hoops now. Do not be surprised if both Adama Sinogo and Donovan Klingon are not on the team together next season. Now, there are multiple issues. There are multiple avenues they could both take. Donovan Klingon, I talked to four NBA GMs. They all said he'd go somewhere between 25 and 40 right now. You know, Walker Kessler type at the next level. Sinogo will put his name in for the NBA draft, I'm sure. I don't know if he's drafted, maybe second round. You know, UConn, if they both want to come back, I don't think Klingon's going to be happy playing 12 or 13 minutes a game, nor should he be for another year. He waited his turn. Yeah. So what do you do there? If you're UConn, they both want NIL money. Can you pay them both? I'm just saying, there's a lot of things that have to be resolved here, Bob. And could one of them go to the transfer portal? I know it sounds insane, and I don't think it'll get to that because I think one of them goes pro. But if both of them say, hey, we want to come back to UConn, and Darren Hurley says, oh, shit, I don't have enough NIL to pay these guys both. Like, it sounds insane that the national title, the champions – could have somebody going to the portal, a big-time player. But, like, it could happen. I'm not saying it will. It could.
It's 2023. I'm reconciling myself to that reality and that everything you said, you know, is feasible. And that's where we are. That is simply it. That's where we are. Yeah. No, yeah. I understand. I did. When you first mentioned to me the other day that Samogo might go, I did have the big one, you know. Come on. But then
player on the best team.
And I had to calm down and understand the reality of 2023, and you've just outlined it perfectly. Yeah, so it'll be very interesting to see. So this was a one-off. So UConn fan, enjoy the moment. Enjoy it, you know, because don't think you're automatically going to be back next year. We'll find out. We'll know a lot more. So you're talking about the portal. I have a question.
Yeah.
How does it work? If you put your name in, you can take it out, right? I mean,
yes. You can withdraw. Obviously, some kids are putting their name in the portal just to get more NIL and see what's out there, right? You know, I'm not saying Hunter Dickinson didn't do that for Michigan, but he knows by going in the portal, he's going to make more NIL probably than did Michigan. But on the flip side, he's not going to finish as a Michigan man. He's going to lose those connections to the school potentially that he's built up for what could have been 4 years. Well, hey, Gary, I have one topic that we did not have on the rundown, but I need to hear Bob's take on it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So it's the women's championship game and everything that went along with it. There was a lot to devour there. I don't know how much you followed it, Gary, but Caitlin Clark is a special player from Iowa. I've watched her. I saw her in person back in November play UConn in Portland. I've watched her a ton on TV because my daughter covers Indiana. They played him 3 times this year. I think she's like the best player since Diana Taurasi that I've watched in terms of just talent and fun to watch and all that. Well, she talks a lot of shit. She talks a lot of shit.
Yeah.
So at the end of the LSU game, Angel Reese, LSU's best player, basically put her her hand up and basically saying, you know, ring. I got a ring. You don't. And everybody went crazy. A lot of people took shots at her, not knowing the background, And that's the problem. I think a lot of media people, I was probably one of the few to know the background of Caitlin Clark and the trash talking that she did over the course of the year. A lot of, you know, people in the Big Ten didn't love how she conducted herself, but respect the hell out of her because of her talent. So Angel Reese got a lot of pushback, and then you had Jill Biden inviting both schools to the White House, which I don't blame LSU for being pissed off because it's never been done before. Why are you doing it now? It doesn't look good. Then you had Kim Mulkey, LSU head coach, who's a raging lunatic on the sidelines at times, and she doesn't get teed up, and you can blame the refs for it as well, but she's, you know, way outside the box half the time, yelling, screaming, kind of like some guys do as well that I've gone on, you know, Dan Hurley being one at times, Fran McCaffrey being one, the Iowa head coach. Bob, I just want to get your take on all of this that transpired.
Well, for people specifically, Caitlin Clark did the you don't see me and with at the band Lit at the Lit at Louisville. Okay, so and who was a high live wire herself?
Yes.
Oh, I guess that was the one that Angel Reese was playing off most specifically. Okay, so yeah, what this has been framed in, you know, this sadly both of these things have now been framed in a racial manner. Yep. You know, and that you know the white girl got away with it and it was kind of cute, and the black girl, you know, was a young lady, you know, was chastised for being, you know, a ghetto princess and all that nonsense. You know, that's awful. You know, of course, I can understand why Angel Reese is very upset about that. So that it was inevitable. And as far as the White House thing is concerned, Jill should just stay out of it. You know, it's not just tone deaf beyond imagination.
Right.
And not to understand that, and it was just foolish. And of course, Angel Reese is taking this a little bit too far on her end now, I think, but still, you know, but anyway, they're going to go, and I guess, right? Or they are going. They're not going to go. They're not going to go.
No, they're not going.
They're not going, which is a historic first.
It's sad.
Not that this is an important matter in Western civilization, you know, that the White House invites a sporting team in, but this has become a co-celeb because of, you know, for the world we're living in and everything else. And yeah, I understand. It's needless. I mean, Jill just caused an absolute needless.
For no reason.
It's just stupid. I mean, really and truly, you know, this is not everybody gets a yellow ribbon for participation.
And the optics look bad because Iowa is a predominantly white team.
Yeah, I mean, right, and the marquee star is white, and LSU's marquee star is not, and you wade into those waters, you cannot, you know, you drown, and Jill Biden just drowned in that, it was needless. Now, as far as the game is concerned, one thing I wasn't in a position to see it, but I was. There's one over everybody. everybody who commented started with one thing and one thing only, the officiating.
Yeah.
How bad was it?
Really bad. Really bad. I mean, again, I think part of the problem is, again, they're scared of Kim Mulkey because they want to officiate the Final Four again. And they know if they hit her with a technical, she may tell the NCAA, hey, I don't want him on my games or in the SEC. I don't want him on my games in the NCAA tournament. So that's the problem with some of these officials. Unless you're so established and you don't give a shit and you're far into your career, you are intimidated by some of these coaches. And Mulkey being probably the biggest one. You know, Gino and Mulkey are the two biggest names, and Don Staley right now. Those are the big names in the women's game. And, you know, frankly, same thing with the men's game. Like, you got to get along with these guys or else you're not going to be allowed to do their games.
Are you guys good? Because I want to say something about our colleague, Jeff Goodman, for a minute while we're on college basketball. And this dawned on me as I saw pictures on social media, Jeff, of you with the Fishers, father and son.
Yeah.
And Bob, I don't think Jeff Goodman gets enough credit for being the premier college basketball writer, journalist in the country. I think that one of the things that has benefited Jeff is social media and also the way we get our information. But at the same time, I think it's hurt, quote unquote, his brand. Now, Jeff's not concerned about his brand. I've known Jeff a long time, but I've seen him go from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette to ESPN to now covering college basketball. And in the past, we've celebrated journalists because you basically had the Globe and you had the Herald, right? Yeah, this guy, you had that guy. And I don't think that Jeff Goodman gets enough credit for being the premier college basketball journalist in the country.
Well, I know nobody that knows more, who knows more people and goes farther back. And I mean, everybody comes up, oh, I saw him in high school. You know, I saw him in AAU. And, you know, seriously, I'm totally impressed by his breadth of knowledge and his contacts. So, you know, I won't dispute anything you say.
Well, I don't think Jeff is enough of a self-promoter. I'll just leave it at that. But Jeff, I just needed to say that because when I saw you hanging out with the Fishers, and then I just...
That dude's the best, though. You got to understand.
No, I understand that. And so are you. Oh, I just think, the way media is now, like, it's so convoluted. There's so much...
Well, I'll say the good and the bad. That's the thing. Like, I'm going to give it to you straight, no matter what. I'm going to give it to you straight. I don't give a shit. I don't care if I don't break your story because I said what I believe about that coach or, you know, and I'm always going to protect the player, the college player, the high school player. You always got to protect them until they make money.
I just think that you probably get your due.
I don't want my due. I just want people to respect, you know, the grind. That's all it is. And I learned it from people like Bob. I mean, to be honest, that's who I learned it from, is the grind. I remember, you know, first time I met Bob was sitting out with my dad after a Celtics game outside the old garden, and him coming out and spending time with me as a 16-year-old kid trying to get in this business. And I know the grind and to me, that's what you want to pass down, right? My daughter's doing it now at Indiana, and you want to pass down that grind, that work ethic to not just her, to the younger generation. Because a lot of them are looking at different outlets right now that, frankly, aren't about journalism. They're not about journalism. They're doing it the right way.
Yeah, we know that. But anyway, props.
Thank you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Bob, it's really interesting. You mentioned in our pre-show text about the West, and I was looking at the West, and boy, have things changed since the beginning of the year, right? It was a real yawner. But now the West is kind of worth watching.
Well, it's competitive as hell. I mean,
it's up for grabs.
And the thing is, you've got some very interesting storylines. You know, I'm usually talking these terms. that phrase that it's kind of just slipped out of me here. But they are, because it's not just a matter of we taking these teams at face value. We've got two teams, for example, three teams in the West that are dramas. It's one, the Phoenix Suns, who have added Kevin Durant, who have now got two guys who are going out and getting 30 each night too. With Booker and with the Chris Paul saga of never getting, doesn't have a ring, and here he is in year 18, I believe it is, and he's still viable. He doesn't have to be the man. He only has to do his point guardy job, and to distribute and be Chris Paul without being the Hall of Famer that he is. He doesn't have to play at that level. But they're a formidable team now. Right? Two, you've got the Lakers. And the fact that they've now won, as we speak, seven in a row, that they're back in the picture, that whether they're in the play-in game or they're not, or whichever way, they're going to be in the mix. They're going to be in the postseason, and they're going to be a story. They're going to be an intriguing story. And the way they've evolved, with not just with Austin Reeves coming, from my point of view, out of nowhere to become a viable force, and the goal, and Davis playing like the top, fill in the blank, 50, 60, 75 player that he was voted. He was voted at 75, but he's a great player. It's always been a matter of whether he's on the floor or not. That's all. Can he stay on the floor? LeBron, still playing at an incredible level at age 38, still the triple-double guy every night. Still, you exhaust the superlatives. Come on. He's truly amazing. But they're going to be heard from. And three, the most just inexplicable disparity in the history of this league. The Warriors, who are invincible, almost invincible at home, and are pathetic on the road to a degree that no good team I've ever seen has been. What is that all about? Jeff, any concept? What is that all about?
I don't understand it, because you've got veterans on that team, guys who have won titles. It'd be one thing if you had a bunch of young dudes that were affected by, the road environments, but come on, Steph, Clay, Draymond, what are we talking about here? I don't understand it, and it concerns me, obviously, going into the playoffs, that they can just flip the switch. However, I do look at it and say, all right, do I have that much confidence in the Nuggets or the Grizz? There are going to be some great first-round matchups coming out of the West. Yeah. Great. Even the
play. I don't think – it's not, to me, I know what you're saying, confidence in the Grizzlies and the – and the Nuggets, and then, I wonder about the Suns and the Clippers are making. But when you mentioned those first two teams, they haven't done it. That's the thing.
Right.
The Warriors, you guys, you're right. They're weird. The Lakers should scare the hell out of everybody. I mean, they just should. Bob talked about it. Those two teams, I would love to see the Nuggets in the finals. I'm a huge Memphis guy. They haven't done it. And I don't know if
but there's a first time. Milwaukee hadn't done it either. The Celtics haven't gotten to the finals.
But what? They got to get – but you're right. But would you put money on them? I wouldn't put money.
Let me throw another team at you.
I wouldn't put money on any of them. On any of them.
No. Yeah. Right now, I have to say Phoenix. All right? If you have to come pick one, I have to pick Phoenix.
Sure.
Sacramento has had a very good year.
Come on. A Sacramento Golden State first round. Who are you taking, Bob? Come on.
Transylvania.
No, I would. I've been singing this Golden State song all year. Don't discount Golden State, but I still keep waiting for them to win a road game. Every once in a while, are they going to be able to do that in the playoffs after they haven't done it all year? Is the question. No, I'm just throwing out. No, of course I would say them, but Sacramento, they got my boy Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox is having a good year, and they've been, they're a good scoring machine, but yet another team that will provide an interesting opponent for somebody. Yeah, no question. Yeah. So no, the West is going to be.
Who might not be in the playing game in the West as we record? Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving.
Yes. Yes. Right. Oh, gee.
What a disaster.
Isn't that sad?
Disaster. Yet another one. And I heard somebody today, I was driving to get coffee, and I heard somebody with Scal saying it's not Kyrie's fault this time. And I'm like, yeah, but it's always partially Kyrie's fault, isn't it? Wherever he goes, they have a worse record with Kyrie this year than they do without Kyrie, the Dallas Mavericks. So, when are people going to start to understand that you know, maybe his talent doesn't outweigh his issues.
No, well, if this doesn't do it. And Bob has said it before. Bob, you know, to quote Bob, it's a tragedy because his talent is.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's just not there for whatever reason. You know, it's just not there. Okay, guys, let's go to the Celts. Now, I mean, they've been resting their guys. We've seen Brown play well. Is it a problem, Bob? Will it come back to haunt them that they went through this phase where they were basically had their heads up there, you know what's, and it cost them the first place?
No. To me, the most important thing is health, not seeding. If you're good enough, you can win a road game, including game seven. And I mean, you'd rather be at home, but it's not a killer. It's not a deal breaker for me. Right. No. It's staying healthy. And I want Robert Williams out there when it matters. And if he's not, then they're not winning. Period.
Hey, Bobby, played 31 minutes last night. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
31. It is good. And yet, you know, they struggled. But they had three guys missing last night. Actually, this guy, like the game with Philly the other night, you know, it was an entertaining game because, you know, Embiid was putting on one of the great shows, frankly, I've ever seen. And people think I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. The Celtics didn't have all their guys. So I discount any of the games among the contenders in which they're missing some key people.
Sure.
You know, I just don't even count that.
But this is going to be my take throughout the playoffs. I think we're letting the Celtics off the hook a little bit with the Robert Williams thing. I understand it. I get it. But the way I've seen Jaylen Brown play lately, and you got Brown and you got Tatum and you got, you know, Brogdon, who obviously when he has it, like last night, he was great.
Love him.
I mean, let's not give the Celtics too much of a pass here if Williams is hurt to get to the finals because –
But he gives you something you're going to need in certain teams. Like Giannis. You need Robert Williams protecting the rim.
Yeah, I get it, Jeff. But are we letting him off the hook too much? I mean, they got Brown and they got Tatum. I mean, I get it. Look, Giannis is freaking all world. But if you're in the Houston Conference Finals and you don't have Rob Williams, you should still take the flipping bucks to the wall.
I'm not saying you can't take him to the wall.
But you can still win it, too. It's not, you know. I don't know. I think the narrative has always been they need Robert Williams, they need Robert Williams. But when I start to see this team play, maybe I'm drinking the wrong Kool-Aid. When I start to see these other guys come in, I'm like, obviously, if they have Robert Williams, they can win the finals. But are we letting them off the hook if they don't?
No, I think they can without him. I just think, again, the margin shrinks because you don't have that one presence protecting the rim that you need. Sure. That changes everything from a defensive standpoint, right? You got Al Horford in there. It's different. Al knows where to be at all times, right? But he is not going to protect the rim. He doesn't have that pop that Robert Williams does when Giannis tries to take it at the rim, where Giannis thinks about it, right? He will. If Robert Williams is sitting there waiting for him, he is thinking about it a little bit, where if Al's there, he's going to dunk right over him.
It's simply a matter of a dimension that is not available elsewhere on that team. That's all. Their other big men have assets, you know, particularly Muscala can shoot, and Cornette just is he's a solid backup big man, you know, but he's not that kind of a player that brings a dimension that Robert Williams does. Now, I'm afraid I have to disagree, Gar. He's a must-have. A must-have to go all the way.
Well, because Bob just mentioned, too, if you don't have him, you got to play Muscala or Cornette more. And then you really get, honestly, you get exposed then.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price,
Priceline.
I know. I just see the way Brown's been playing lately, and I know they want him to get his. And I'm like, these two guys, they have to score. I mean, you guys are probably right in the end. But if they didn't have him and they're going against Milwaukee, they got to outscore him. I mean, you're going to have to get unbelievable nights from Brown and Tatum every night. Brogdon's going to have a lot.
Your versatility within your roster, if you have Robert Williams, is better than anybody else. Your depth.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But I'm going to let him off the hook. Okay. Gentlemen, anything else on your mind?
No, just one. Do we, just the Knicks.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'm not afraid of them, but I'm intrigued by the Knicks now. They, you know, and this the way that Quickley's coming on and Quentin Grimes. I mean, and you know, topping at 32 the other day, last night, whenever it was. I mean, they've got some components now. That's all I'm saying.
They
could be an interesting playoff opponent for someone.
By the way, I was reminded when I said that Jalen Brunson might be the most accomplished college player in the last 20 years, because we were talking to Tyler Hansborough out in Houston, and I said, like, you know, we were talking about top five college players in the last two decades, and Tyler's got to be, you know, one or two probably. But Jalen Brunson has something that nobody else has, which is two national titles at Villanova. He also has a high school state title. I mean, this is a kid who, again, we've talked about him, but you can never give him enough credit for what he's done with the Knicks. And then you look at Dallas right now and you're like, hey, Mark Cuban, do you want to? And Cuban, I think just yesterday, the day before, kind of blamed it on Rick Brunson a little bit. Did you see that?
Oh, no.
He said the parents. Well, you know, obviously Rick with the Knicks, it was a smart hire. It's like a college. It was almost like a college move.
Right.
You're hiring the dad or whoever to get the kid.
You don't see it too often in the pros. I can't think of any comparable circumstance necessarily. But
brilliant.
About the Ed Manning circumstance.
Yeah, brilliant move. And again, we all thought they overpaid, and they did a little bit at the time.
How many times have I said it? I love the guy, but I saw him as a useful component, not as a star, and that they overpaid him. And I'm so happy to be wrong, because I have liked this guy's game from Villanova days.
And you'll like him more if you talk to him. You'll like him even more, because he's all about everything that's right about winning. Like, everything. And he's got more shit to him. The Villanova guys, all of them, are like robots when they're at Villanova. They can't really talk much. And then when they get out of Villanova, whether it's Ryan Arcidiacono or Josh Hart or Colin Gillespie or Brunson, they open up, they have fun. And it's weird, because like Jay Wright is like the best. Like, he's outgoing. They kind of are very robotic. And Jalen Brunson, man, all kudos to him, because he is he's worth every penny. That's what I'll say about Jalen Brunson. He's been worth every penny by the Knicks.
Gentlemen, a pleasure. Jeff, get some sleep. Bob, just a reminder, you might want to take off the shirt and the hat before you leave. You can keep maybe just one on. You got a lot of red going on there. Just a reminder. guys, great stuff. Again, Jeff, great work at the NCAA. We'll talk to you next week. And FanDuel brings you the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway Along for the Ride podcast. Grand slams, no hitters, double plays are back. There's no better place to get on an MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official partner of Major League Baseball.